The title of today's talk is Paid or Owed Forward. That's the opportunity with parenting. It's the opportunity with families. It's the opportunity in living in the world, with people. The genetics are a type of chains in time, holding data of the past and past generations. Why we have our children and how we raise them, our children are linked to history in ways that we do not understand. Theoretically, we have chances to undo and redo karma in raising families. The great adventure of parenting comes from the lack of preparation. Because we are always in dynamic change of interplay of personalities changing, and children development as changing from minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day. And we have no experience with that particular child, let alone all the different personalities that may come into the family. The operative question is, how do we prepare for the surprising experience of raising children? Self-management of state of being is the best we can do. And usually when we start families, we're not enlightened. And we haven't even maybe thought of enlightenment. And so self-management is kind of a remote concept. And so it's like trying to manage the child rather than managing ourselves. And the whole situation boils down to the fact that we are not experienced in the dynamics that are going to take place on a daily basis. Because there's a unique something every 10 seconds, especially with tiny children, babies. We have no idea what their background is when they come. We have no idea what our background is when they come. And that's the problem. It's the ignorant meeting the ignorant and trying to raise the ignorant with ignorant parents. I mean, we're just not experienced. And so it's kind of potluck. But it can drive you to want to get enlightened. Truly. Because finally, as you mature, you realize that you're making a heck of a lot of mistakes because of you, because of yourself, because of your own reactionalism, because your upsetness around not knowing what to do, or when to do it, or how to do it. So it's a full-time occupation as to get yourself to a place where you may have some familial harmony. And oftentimes it has to start with the parent, because the kid is definitely just experiencing exploration of self and different experiences around them, and trying to deal with other kids that they don't know, and et cetera. So it's a opportunity. And I think that's probably why people were driven to seek enlightenment. And why many went to the high Himalayas to find quiet to do it. Well, obviously, genetics carries history. And we don't know what the history of the child really is, any more than we know the history of our genetics, because there's no two sets of genetics just exactly alike, not even identical twins. So it's an opportunity for learning, but can we get quiet enough to realize that we don't have the answers, but we have a method to survive it? We don't know what each child's genetic background is. We don't know what our real genetic background is. You can watch Ancestors and you see how many generations back you can go, and how surprising it is to people who follow at least one chain of the fine family history back in time to discover who they were related to and what their backgrounds of genetics came from. And it's quite surprising to most people. So here we are, we've gone through evolutionary generations of war and struggle and development and technology and you name it. It's new each generation and it's old each generation. It's a mixture. And dealing with it as an amateur, which we all are, when we start families and get to the age that we feel responsible, it's that we have a respect for having to learn how to manage ourselves. And that's one of the things that makes, quote, quote, the quest for enlightenment attractive, because we think that by pursuing the quest for enlightenment that we'll get a grip. we'll get a grip on ourselves. We come to the point that we realize that we're the problem. It's not the world, it's our lack of ability to understand the requirement of being in the human body and what we're here to optimize to do. And that's what the pursuit of enlightenment is how can we optimize the experience of being in the human body? So, parenting is a way that can drive you there really much faster than some other ways. But imagine how it is in the middle of a war zone, trying to be a parent, and all the other confusion that's going on, and the pressures that are going on, and it's been going on all through history. So this is kind of a tumultuous, let's say, initiation into why we should get enlightened. Why it might be helpful if we had a better grip on how to self-manage. So take heart and be patient with yourself, because it's a trial, because we're ignorant of all of the, let's say, particulars of now. We don't know why we're in the now that we're in. So, having compassion for yourself is important. Doesn't mean sloppy, it just means compassionate. That you don't know. But it doesn't mean that you don't know anything. And the problem is, the subconscious mind wants you to know what's not important rather than what is important, which is how do you manage your energy now? Whether you get, quote, quote, enlightened, the first step will be how do you manage your energy in the now? Because enlightenment is going to come unless you're, let's say, pulled out of your body and you have a near-death experience and a, let's say, amazing epiphany, which would be nice, but it's not a guarantee that you'll enlighten, because unless you come back and you practice being in the now in a more grounded, open-hearted, compassionate way, you're going to have trouble no matter what. So, being on the path of the masters, we have an opportunity to hear about energy management in useful ways. The problem is, do we remember to apply it minute by minute? And as I have given the example gazillions of times, that when you develop a habit, it's very hard to break a habit because you have a neurological pathway that's well developed to the habit. And to make a new direction to eliminate a habit you want to eliminate, it's harder because it's a new direction. It's not the direction you biologically now go to. Once you've developed a biological pathway a neurological pathway to a reaction to a situation. And let's say it's the garbage can on the right side of the desk, that you don't even think about it. You just scrunch the paper up and you throw it in the garbage can to the right side of the desk. Oh, one fine day you say, this is in an impractical place, I'll put it on the left side. 90 days later, you're throwing paper on the floor on the right side of the desk. Because your biological pathway can dominate over your intellectual intention. So that's why it's so problematic, why addictions are so problematic. And as Master Kirpal used to say, we're nothing but a bunch of habits and addictions that have to be broken and rerouted. So compassion is essential. It starts with you, because if you're not compassionate with yourself, you won't be compassionate with others. But compassion with the self doesn't mean sloppy or lazy. It means I ain't got it done right yet. I need to improve my technique of remembering that the garbage can has been moved to the left. That the habit is still taking over because I'm not cognitively in control of where I'm putting the paper. I'm unconsciously putting the paper, which means I'm not being conscious in the now. Which means not being conscious in the now is a problem. All about everything we're addicted to in the way we live life. So what gets us conscious in the now? Change of habits that we can change, like deep breathing, like smiling. Now, it's harder to be compassionate with yourself when the fix is simplistic, but you don't take it. Smiling is a simple fix. Deep breathing is a simple fix. Relaxation is a simple fix. Open-heartedness is a simple fix. Open-minded is a little harder, but rather, it's kind of a simple fix. Now, the interesting thing is that you would prefer to do the hard way than the simple way. I mean, it seems absolutely insane when you think about it that the simple fix is deep breathing. To tense breathing, isn't it? And tense breathing means a tense heart, which means a tense mind, which means a tense heart, which means everything is not in the optimum place towards enlightenment. And the simplicity of each one of the tools is so astounding that your ego will not permit you to believe it. It wants to throw paper on the floor until you die. I'd rather die throwing paper on the floor than be present and put it in the garbage on the left. That's exactly what's being said, isn't it? I mean, it's precisely what's being said. So, raising families and why I'm putting this together with being, everybody comes from a family, hello. One way or another, right? Unless you were grown in a petri dish, but then still you have your genetics, right? So it doesn't matter whether the family was Yahoo Yoo-hoo or whether they were loving and kind and blah, blah. It doesn't mean that's what you learned. You came in with your own set of genetics. You come in with your own interpretation of events. You're surrounded by people and situations that are unique to you, even though you may be in a family that seems to be similar to, but different than. You see, different than is the operative word. We are different than everybody, and we are similar in so many simple ways. And so, until we come to terms with the fact that we're our own worst enemy, by listening to the eagle say, this is hard, rather than the simple thing is, all I have to do is take deep breaths right now. I just have to be present. And what is synonymous with the relaxed me, when I have practiced enough relaxed me's, is that what I be when I'm relaxed, I can remember. And therefore, I can engage it and prolong it. But I have to practice it enough to be able to remember that if I take the door of deep breathing, or I take the door of smiling, or I take the door of open heart, or I take the door of joy, or I take the door of faith, or I take the door of open mind, the others are available. Because they're in the same energetic category. And that's the door to receptivity to the soul. Duh. Oh, is that something to do with enlightenment? Well, meditating for hours is great. And I'm not knocking it. But when you're doing the dishes, you're not meditating. But your thinking, but are you thinking deep breathing, or smiling, or joy, or open-heartedness? You see, everything we do that isn't sitting in, let's say, meditation, where your body is actually set down and the intention is to look for the light or listen for the sound, you're having to do something with some part of your consciousness that makes you say, I need to be here, but what can I do when I'm being here? Worry and have a whole bunch of ideas that are squirrely to what's going on? Or can I be loving to the dishes I'm washing? Can I be lovingly present? Can I be deep breathing while I'm... I can do those things, but fixing the country's economy while I'm doing the dishes is BS. Busy stupidity. BS. So it's not serving the purpose of getting closer to enlightenment, at least compassion. At least, you know, if you leave your body and you don't think you've enlightened, wouldn't it be nice to know that you're facing it with relaxation and faith and joy, as opposed to, what the heck did I do with my life? So minute by minute is important. Your minutes count. So if you're doing the dishes, or you're vacuuming, or you're watering, or you're walking, to be in touch with love, how much more wonderful can it be? Now that doesn't mean that masters are not aware that very trying events can happen in life. A bomb dropping in your backyard does not create smiles. However, the burning of the coffee plantation, the head guy from the coffee plantation runs in and says, "Master, Master, God is coming." The fire, the plantation is on fire. God is coming. Wouldn't we like to think God is coming rather than hell is coming? So managing these little nows, not enlightenment tomorrow, you'll never know when it will happen or could happen. But if you stop throwing paper on the floor on the right-hand side and get it into the garbage can on the left-hand side, something's been accomplished. And instead of worrying about world economy while you're doing the dishes or vacuuming or who's going to get elected or blah, 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 and you're just smiling and singing along with Mitch. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. Your carpet's going to appreciate you a whole lot more. It really doesn't want to hear and feel your pheromones of tension falling out of your being onto the carpet. So, why Master Kripal could tell when his orderly, who was preparing his meals, had had somebody in the kitchen that wasn't focused on spirit and God and love, was that the pheromones, the vibrations, had gotten into the food. Your reeking of your thoughts. He's got a nasty personality. He he's stinky. What are these phrases? You see, unbeknownst to us, God is trying to tell us something. She's a sweet little girl. There's something more fragrant rather than stinky about a sweet personality, a kind personality. They're a very kind person. How do you know? They radiate and they smell. And I've told this before. When I used to fly and we were coming in from the Far East and going through customs in Hawaii, there was one guy that was always the terror of everybody coming through, because if they were trying to sneak something in and not listing it as something they bought abroad, this guy would nail them every time. And finally, one time I was coming through and I'd say, how come you're so accurate about finding somebody who's trying to smuggle? And he said, it's very simple. They smell. Why do lie detectors work? Because the biochemistry of the body changes, and it produces different chemicals when you're trying to get away with something. So, you know, when we're talking to little kids and we're telling them a bunch of BS, bull winky, anyway, to try to motivate them to go the way we want, but it's not necessary, and it's not in a way in which it's not conditioning them inappropriately. They're picking up on the fragrance, they're picking up on the tension, they're picking up on the lie. One time I was rather young, taking care of a little kid, babysitting, and I was supposed to feed him dinner, and he didn't like vegetables. And so we were sitting down in his little table, and I was in a little squat chair, and he was in his chair, and he just was not going to eat his vegetables. And I said to him, oh, yummy, yummy vegetables. And he said, oh, yummy, yummy yourself. Oh, yummy, yummy yourself. Okay. Well, that didn't work. You see, I was trying to manipulate him in a way he didn't want to be manipulated. Then I could have gone about it in different ways. I could have said, well, I know it doesn't maybe taste the way you like things to taste, but sometimes things that are good for us, we have to get used to eating because they have a taste we're not used to. But we won't get used to them if we don't taste them from time to time. You see, rather than yummy, yummy, which is a different maneuvering game, you see. And that's what's happening with politics. Yummy, yummy. We should like all these, you know, egotistical, self-centered, power-seeking politicians. Oh, yummy, yummy. Well, we don't realize that every minute is an opportunity towards being present, open-hearted, compassionate, and as truthful as we can be. Now, we can never know the whole truth, theoretically. But we can know generally a truth in the sense of fact that when we are centered and balanced and relaxed, we are happier. Whether anybody else gets happier is another question. But we will be able to find the garbage can on the left of the desk rather than throw absent-mindedly in our tension, distraction, and throw the paper on the floor on the right side of the desk. Yes. So over and over and over, we've gotten lessons about being relaxed and present, about being joyful, about being happy, and enjoying other people who manifest those things and then not manifesting them. And I have to say, am I a retard or something? I'm not practicing what I like to experience. Why aren't people reacting to me like people react to that? But whether they react to you the way you want them to or not, how are you reacting to yourself now? Are you aware of yourself now? And where your energy is now? Well, it's another waltz around the block. And we may or we may not be in a place where we will apply it because we're not self-managing enough yet. And that's how we raise families, isn't it? Unfortunately, not well managed ourselves sometimes. Would any seed take root if it had not believed his promise when God said, "Dears, I will reign. I will help you. I will turn into warmth and effulgence. I will be the mother I am and let you draw from my body and rise and rise and rise." St. Thomas Aquinas. More significant than any act is the power, the impetus behind it. The power, the impetus behind it. More significant than the act. Your state of being, right? A fish may gather enough momentum to leap into the air and may even fall into a boat and bite someone. But tracing that act to its source reveals the ocean as the cause. Our thoughts leap out of God. Creation took flight from his bow. Behind every act is the Beloved. He is the cause. Every act. The child blames others for their woes. No one can change the course of his arrows. That does not mean that one should not become adept at ducking. God is the only doer. And the doing is difficult, very often. Why? We're not aware. As ignorant children, and that's what not enlightenment is, the parent doesn't always have the ability to explain to a child why something has to happen. But if the child trusts the parent, instead of screaming, yelling, kicking, carrying on, they get more easily taken through the experience than if they were screaming, yelling, kicking, and carrying on, because they're experiencing their own pain, not the pain that's to come. And we go screaming, yelling through life sometimes. Why isn't it this way? Why isn't it that way? We don't understand. God, we are infantile. Compared to full God consciousness. Come on. We're infantile. We have to trust. And if we don't trust the Creator, let me see, who do we trust? We trust our ignorant self rather than the Creator? That just doesn't seem to work very well. So, practicing in trust means you practice trust. You practice joy. You practice open heart. You practice open-mindedness. You practice loving everything. You practice breathing. You practice the simple things. You practice relaxation. You practice faith. Okay, so parenting is just a way of showing you you know nothing. And that getting a family through the experience of surviving a family experience can be trying. So remember that you are as trying to God as an adult as children are trying to you as a parent. And when you would like your child to trust you, but they don't, you want to kick them, or shake them, or do something to get them to trust you, which really, when you kick or shake them, makes them trust you less. So it's let's say, a golden opportunity for God to give us the experience in trying to get us to grow up and behave to our best advantage, which is to come into the light, to come into the love, to come into the joy, to be joyful as often as possible. As compassionate as often as possible, and preferably quiet. Now that's why "be still and know that I am God" was written in the Bible. Preferably quiet, children are preferable sometimes, you know, because quiet children sometimes get insights. It's interesting that art of all forms, learning of all forms, often takes place when we finally shut up and just are quiet. And in that quiet, the full steamroller of the ego brain takes an alpha wave dive, and we get an insight, an insight, a download from the light data system of spirit, an insight. Okay, happy parenting day to anybody that is parenting. And a happy remorse day for those who have been parented and we didn't know better. You can thank your parents on the other side. And apologize. But the big parent in the sky, the creator, is just waiting for us to enjoy the quiet so that there can be downloads of insight. Downloads of light, because we're not tense and blocking it.